Translation and purport by Svangra Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Murari Gupta never accepted charity from friends, nor did he accept money from anyone. He practiced as a physician and maintained his family with his earnings. Please repeat. Srila Murari Gupta never accepted charity from friends, nor did he accept money from anyone. He practiced as a physician and maintained his family with his earnings. Purport. It should be noted that a grihastha householder must not make his livelihood by begging from anyone. Every householder of the higher castes should engage himself in his own occupational duty as a Brahmin, Kshatriya or Vaishya, but he should not engage in the service of others, for this is the duty of a Shudra. One should simply accept whatever he earns by his own profession. The engagements of a Brahmin are yajna, yajana, patana, patana, dana and pratigraha. A Brahmin should be a worshipper of Vishnu, and he should also instruct others how to worship him. A Kshatriya can become a landholder and earn his livelihood by levying taxes or collecting rent from tenants. A Vaishya can accept agriculture or general trade as an occupational duty. Since Murari Gupta was born in a physician's family, Vaidya Vamsa, he practiced as a physician, and with whatever income he earned, he maintained his family. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone should execute his occupational duty, and thus he should satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection of life. This system is called Daiva Varnashram. Murari Gupta was an ideal grihastha, for he was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By practicing as a physician, he maintained his family and at the same time satisfied Lord Chaitanya to the best of his ability. This is the ideal of householder life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Guruvai Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurav Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadhi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. If I could request everyone to raise your hands in the air. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Can I just confirm, is today Gita Jayanti? No. Okay. Sorry, not Gita Jayanti. Hanuman Jayanti. Yes. Okay. So I was told today was Hanuman Jayanti. So I'll leave it for the next devotee who reads the next verse to elaborate on this particular verse. So today I was told to talk about Shri Hanumanji. Of course, Murari Gupta is incarnation of Hanumanji. So we're going to have some pastimes from the Ramayana, especially to do with Hanumanji. But before that, because I'm from Birmingham. There's something that you people, because you are based here in London and you have the manor so close to hand, something you may not realize. So I thought I'd reflect first of all on how lucky you all are. Right, so it's a great privilege for me to come to the manor. It's like 1.5 hours. 1.5 hours away, you don't get much opportunity. But you people obviously are residents or live locally, and you're actually very, very fortunate to have Bhaktivedanta Manor. And one of the reasons why, of course there are many, but one of the reasons why you're so fortunate is because of the three sets of deities we have on this altar. We have Radha Krishna, we have Gaur Nithai, and we have Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. It's actually a very, very powerful combination. And I'll tell you why, in case you hadn't realized. If you look at all the avatars, especially the Das avatars, the 10 famous incarnations of Lord Vishnu, so the reason why they come, the reason why they appear in this world is given in Bhagavad Gita. Paritanaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So, to reciprocate with the devotees, paritanaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam, to destroy the demons, and dharma samstarpanartaya, to re-establish religious principles. So these are the three reasons, main reasons why the Lord descends. So if you take Matsya or Kurma, or let's take Varahadev, what was the main reason for him coming? What was his main business when he came? To save the earth? Yep. And what else? What was his main business? What was it? What, more than to save the earth, actually. To please Lord Brahma? What was his main activity? What was he mainly doing? Yeah, he was having a big fight, right? He came down. His main purpose as Varahadev was to really have a good fight, right? What was the purpose of Hiranyakashipu? Nrisingadev. Yes. Yes, give him a round of applause. Yes, good. Whoever your parents are, very good. Good training. So, Nrisingadev's main business was to have a big fight to Vinasha Chaduskritam. There was some interaction with Prahlad, there was some interaction with the Devtas, Lakshmi Devi. Brahmaji was there after he'd finished, and then Brahmaji came forward and Nrisingadev was right, so everybody was too scared. So there was that kind of interaction. And then Brahmaji said to Lakshmi, "You go forward." And she said, "I've never seen him like this before. I'm not going forward." Right? So the interaction with the devotees was very minimum, right? In many of the other incarnations. What was the purpose of Parashuram? What was his? So, Vinasha Chaduskritam, right? If you look at all the incarnations, the main purpose was either Dharma Samstarpanataya or Vinasha Chaduskritam. Kapila Dev, right? I know he's not one of the Das avatars, but he's mentioned in Bhagavatam. What was his main purpose? He was preaching to his mother, Devahuti. Right, as soon as he finished, did he hang around? He left straight away. Vamanadev, how much time did he spend with his mother and father? Not much. Right, the Devtas came, gave him donations, and straight away he went off to sort out Bali Maharaj to capture him. Right, Dharma Samstarpanataya, to give the universe back to the demigods. So he didn't spend much time in other incarnations interacting with the devotees. But let's look at Lord Krishna. What was his main purpose? What was his main business? What did he spend most time doing? With his friends, yes! Give him a round of applause. That's right. He spent most of his time with his friends. He spent most of his time paritanaya sadhunam. Right? Lord Chaitanya, what did he spend most of his time doing? Guess. Kirtan, yes. Spending time with? Who was he doing kirtan with? With all the devotees. Lord Chaitanya spent most of his time with the devotees. Right? What did Lord Ramchandra do? What was his main business? Killing Ravan. That wasn't his main business. That was just over a few days. Establishing Dharma through his example, but what was he actually doing? What was he doing most of the time? The ultimate answer, right? Most of the time he was paritanaya sadhanam. He was interacting with his devotees, with his mothers, with the citizens of Ayodhya. And there is one miracle that all three forms of the Lord does, which no, as far as I'm aware, no other incarnations do. Which highlights the fact that in these incarnations, the Lord really wants paritanaya sadhanam. Does anybody here have a lot of friends? Or have a big family? Right? Yeah? So, what often happens, I'm in this situation at the moment, what often happens is, you've got two members of your family or friends who have a wedding or some occasion on the same day. Right? And one is in Manchester and one is in East London. Right? So you can't go to both. What do you wish you could do? Right? If you really wanted to be, if you really wanted to, you know, keep the relationships with those people, what would you want to do? Expand, right? You'd want to be both places at the same time. Nobody else would have to know, of course. Right? I'm sure if you ask Shruti Dharma Prabhu, that would you, if you had the boon that you could expand, would you use it? Right? I'm sure he'd say yes, right? So many programs going on at the same time. And he'd wish that to interact, to keep relationships with all the devotees, he wish you could expand. So this desire to expand comes about because of a strong desire to fulfill the desires of the devotees. Right? Or the loving exchange. As Lord Krishna, did he expand? Did he expand himself many times? What examples? 16,108 times in Dwarka, yes. Right? He was with every single queen simultaneously. Narad Muni saw this. Right? Went into one palace, saw Lord Krishna's doing something with his children, another palace is busy with his wife, another palace doing something else. And then when he'd go to the main court, then all 16,108 Krishnas would come and become one, and then go to the court. Right? Just to interact with his devotees, he would expand. Did he do it in Vrindavan? That's slightly different. That's where the Lord expanded himself. But he wasn't directly Krishna. When did he expand where he was directly Krishna? The Ras Lila. He expanded himself to be with every gopi at the same time. And what did each gopi think? Krishna's only with me. Krishna is exclusively mine. Right? Every devotee is thinking that Krishna is exclusively mine. Nobody else knew that Krishna had expanded. Similarly, with the cowherd boys, when Krishna would sit in the center, he was always the center of their attention. And he'd be surrounded by thousands and thousands of cowherd boys all around. And they would be sitting in a circle like a lotus, right? It's described like a lotus, and Krishna would be in the middle of that lotus flower. And every boy thought Krishna's smiling and looking at him simultaneously. Right? Why does the Lord do this? Paritranaya sadhunam. Because the Lord, in the form of Krishna, he wants the love of his devotees. This is why he performs this miracle. Does Lord Chaitanya perform this miracle? Which pastime? The Rathayatra pastime, yes. There were 7 kirtan parties. How does it go? 4 in front of the chariot, 2 on the side of the chariot, and 1 behind the chariot. 7 kirtan parties in total. And Lord Chaitanya would dance from one to the other to the other. But at one point, he expanded himself and he was dancing in all 7 kirtan parties simultaneously. And only 2 people knew. But all the kirtan parties thought, wow, Lord Chaitanya is dancing with us exclusively. Right? They had no idea that actually he was also there. Right? Why does the Lord do this? Paritanaya sadhunam. Because he wants to reciprocate with his devotees. Does Lord Ramchandra perform this miracle? You're nodding your head. When? This is really testing your Ramayana knowledge now. Does Lord Ramchandra do this miracle? When does he expand himself? Or reciprocate with the devotees simultaneously? Sorry? To give darshan to Urmila? I don't know that pastime. We can talk after it. I know another one. Yes, please. Even then, that's still only with Hanuman. So if you read, I read Krishna Dharma Prabhu's Ramayana. And when Lord Ram is going to be coronated, before, just on the day that he's sent to the forest. So on the way to the palace, from his own palace going to see Maharaj Dasharatha, then the whole of Ayodhya knew that today is Lord Ram's coronation day. And they were so happy, because they saw Lord Ram as their protector, almost like their father. So the entire Ayodhya had come out into the streets, right? Some were on the balconies, some were lining the roads. They had all come out just to see Lord Ram on this auspicious day. So Lord Ram was there on his chariot, right? You know what the queen does? I don't know how the queen waves in a certain way, right? So Lord Ram was smiling and reciprocating with the devotees. The interesting thing is this. The devotees on this side all thought that Lord Ram was looking at them. The devotees on this side also thought that Lord Ram was looking at them. Right? So Lord Ram, okay, he didn't expand himself, but every devotee, every resident of Ayodhya thought that Lord Ram was with them directly, looking at them directly, simultaneously. Just so that he could reciprocate with the devotees. Paritanaya sadhunam. So my dear Bhaktivedanta Manor residents and congregational devotees, these are your 3 deities on the altar. These are the Paritanaya sadhunam deities that you have. You are so fortunate to have such deities. They want your love. Right? They desire that the most. And that's why they've manifest. And I guess this is one reason why the congregation is growing so much. The reciprocation between the devotees and the deities is amazing. Right? So much loving exchange is there. So I just wanted to remind you, how fortunate you are. There is one thing about Lord Ram that is maybe even more unique in his exchange with the devotees. Jai Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman Gonitaya Ki Jai. There's one thing about Lord Ram's pastimes that is even more special, even more interesting, whatever you want to call it. That Lord Ram depends on his devotees, more than even Lord Chaitanya, more than even Krishna. Lord Ram depends on his devotees. Now, this for me brought about a doubt. When Lord Ram, when Sita Devi was kidnapped, Lord Ram was in great distress. He was crying. He was saying all these crazy things, right? And then eventually he went to Sugriv. And Sugriv was told about this situation, and Sugriv said, "Yes, I'll help you find Sita." Now, if the Supreme Lord is Sarvajna, means omniscient, he's all-knowing, how is it possible that he doesn't know where Sita Devi is? And he's begging Sugriv, "Please, please help me find Sita." I was thinking, why didn't Sugriv turn around and say to him, "My dear Prabhu, your sarvasya chaham ridishani visto, mata smitir gyanam apohanam cha." Right? You're there within everyone's heart. From you comes knowledge. You're asking me, where's Sita? Right? You're sarvagya, you're omniscient. How come you don't know where Sita is? So then what does Lord Ram do? He says, "Actually, I do know where she is, but let's just play along." Right? No. So is Lord Ram faking it? Is Lord Ram pretending that he doesn't know where Sita Devi is? In which case, his tears are crocodile tears. He's just pretending. Right? He sent Hanuman on this big mission. Right? Was all of that just a play? So this was a doubt. Many scholars think like this. When they, especially the pastime, the Damodar Leela, when Mother Yashoda is chasing after Krishna with a stick, and at one point she catches Krishna, and Krishna is trembling from fear, right? That description is there, right? He's rubbing his two eyes, and he's trembling out of fear, right? Fear personified is scared of the Lord. How can the Lord experience fear, right? So many scholars say, this is the Lord, he's like an actor, he's just pretending, right? He's faking it. He's a crocodile tears, you know, he's looking at Mother Yashoda scared. Very good actor. So there's one book, Venu Gita, written by His Holiness Shivaram Swami. And there's a chapter on the reciprocation of the clouds with Krishna, how the clouds are Krishna's friends. And in there, Maharaj translates a dialogue between two devotees. One is Raghunath Das Brahmachari, and he is he's a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he goes to his Shiksha Guru, Sri Govinda, and asks him a similar question to this. That how is it possible that the Lord is Sarvagya, but yet he's performing these pastimes? Right? And Sri Govinda cites this example, how the scholars think that Krishna is faking it when being chased by Mother Yashoda. So then he explains that yes, Krishna is Sarvagya, omniscient, he's all-knowing. But there is another quality that people are not aware of, that these scholars are not aware of. You know what that quality is? Has anybody read this chapter? Maybe not. This quality is called Mugdha. Mugdha. This quality means that he is completely bewildered out of love. The Lord is simultaneously Sarvagya, all-knowing, and simultaneously Mugdha, completely bewildered, not knowing anything. He is both at the same time. And then Sri Govinda explains that this is a chinta, right? This is inconceivable. How is it possible to be simultaneously all-knowing and simultaneously not knowing anything, right? Only the Lord can have this quality. Right? And when Raghunath Das Brahmachari hears this, he's in ecstasy. Wonderful, wonderful. Right? This explains my doubt. And this explained my doubt. Now I can see the Ramayana for what it really is. The Lord is not pretending when he's crying for Sita. He really is in pain. He is completely distressed and distraught, and he actually doesn't know where Sita is. When he goes to Sugriva, Sugriva can see on his face, he's not faking it, he's not pretending. He really is distraught and in so much pain. And this is the catalyst, this is the real motivation for Hanuman to then go and find Sita. Without this Mugdha quality, it doesn't make sense. For what Hanuman did for Lord Ram, it does not make sense. If this was just a show, it was just pretend. Hanuman went through a lot of pain, right? If Lord Ram already knew where Sita was, this is, you know, false, pretentious. So I was really happy when I read that. I was like, oh, okay, that's good to know. Right? That satisfied me. So this journey of Hanuman is very, what's the word? Is very significant for a devotee, because the journey of Hanuman to rescue Sita is compared to our own spiritual journey, where Sita Devi, or bhakti, devotion to the Lord, is captive in our hearts. Captive by Ravan, who embodies lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and pride. Right? We all have Ravan within our heart. We all have these qualities within our heart. Well, I should speak for myself, I don't know. I don't know if you do, but I definitely do. Right? We have these qualities within our heart, and Ravan is holding Sita, holding bhakti in our heart captive. So this is our journey. So see, Hanumanji, along with 80,000 monkey warriors, they went down south. All the other parties, some went north, some went east, some went west. And they came back after 1 month, said, we didn't find Sita. But Hanumanji's party, they ventured further, further, further. And even after 1 month, they still hadn't given up. And they came down south, and then they were told by Jatayu's brother that Sita was across the ocean. And this gave the party great hope, right? They were actually on the verge of giving up. And when they heard this news, they were very elated again. So at that time, they were thinking that which monkey is going to cross the ocean to Lanka? So then each monkey, like Angada, very powerful monkey, he was a son of Bali. So he said, I can jump to Lanka, but I won't be able to jump back. So I can't do it. And each monkey was saying, oh, I can jump this far, and some were saying, I can jump this far. Then finally Jambavan turned to Hanuman and said, Hanuman, you can do it. Hanuman said, I can't jump that far. What are you talking about? So then at this point, Jambavan, he narrates the history, the birth of Hanuman. That how when he was born, he wanted to eat a fruit. Hanuman is an expansion of Lord Shiva. So when he was born, he wanted to eat the fruit. He saw the sun, and he thought, oh, this is a nice ripe fruit. So he went, jumped towards the sun, and he was going to devour the sun. Right? So at that point, Suryadev turned to Indra. So Indra took his weapon, and he threw his weapon and hit him on the chin. And Hanuman fell down, lifeless. Right? This is how he got the name Hanuman. It means one with a crooked, or they say teeth or chin, right? One with a crooked, broken tooth or chin. So at this point, Vayudev became very angry. And he retracted the air from the universe. So everybody's suffering, suffocating. Right? They all went to Lord Brahma. So immediately Lord Brahma came down and said to Vayudev, the wind god, that why have you done this? So he said, look what Indra did to my son. So at this point, Brahmaji said, okay, bring back, we'll sort this out. So Vayudev brought the air back, and all the devtas, one after another, gave so many benedictions to Hanumanji. No weapon will be able to hurt you, you'll be able to change your form, you'll have so much strength, power, etc., etc. So many benedictions. And then afterwards they all left. So he was just a little baby. And being a little baby, of course, you know how kids are, right? They're very mischievous. very mischievous. So Hanumanji started to bother the sages. Right? They would be in the river chanting their Gayatri, and then he would come and pull their feet from under them and do so many naughty things. So this is why the sages all got together and said, almost like a curse, but they said, you will forget all your powers until you need them in the service of Lord Ram. Right? Until somebody speaks the glories, repeats this pastime, and then at that point you will remember. So Jambavan had told this story, and immediately Hanuman realized his true potential. Right? He's very excited. Okay, I'm ready. I'm going to jump to Lanka to find Sita. But one interesting thing to note, I didn't read this, but His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he says this in one class, that before jumping, Hanumanji went to every single devotee and asked for their blessings before going. And Maharaj explains that this is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnav does not do anything independently. Whenever he's going to do something very big, right? When he's on a mission, then he always, first of all, seeks the blessings of the devotees. And it's also interesting to note that Hanumanji said, don't go back to Kishkinda without me. Wait till I come back. Because he thought that if I am successful, and if all the monkeys go back, then he will go back alone. And all the credit will be given to Hanumanji. And he didn't want that. You know how the expression is? There's no I in team. There's no I in team. Right? You heard that expression? Right? So Hanumanji was thinking, no, all of us will get the credit together. Right? So it's very, very interesting. Whenever we were about to do something important, very important to get the blessings of the devotees first. Which is why before I spoke, I asked for all of your blessings, right? And then afterwards, when Hanumanji was successful, then he can say, and everybody praises Hanumanji, what will he say? That no, it was by your blessings. This is Trinadapi Sunichina, humility. The materialists are bewildered by the false ego. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Right? Bewildered by the false ego, the foolish living entity thinks himself to be the control, the doer. Right? This is not a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav always seeks the blessings of the devotees. So after seeking their blessings, he went onto the mountain, Mount Mahendra. And then growing in size, he took a huge leap, right, and jumped high into the air like a rocket, made such a noise, like this. And all the demigods, all the devtas were looking, thinking, wow, what a magnificent sight. Right? His two arms outstretched, huge arms like snakes, with five heads, right, outstretched like this. Roaring sound as he was flying through the air. So this journey of Hanuman to find Sita is likened unto our spiritual journey. So this journey starts... The real time that your journey, so your spiritual journey starts, is at the point of initiation. When you take initiation from a spiritual master, that's when your spiritual life truly starts, just like Hanumanji jumped from that mountain. I remember many years ago, about 1996, 97, my parents had taken initiation, and I remember my mother saying that after she took initiation, she said it felt like her spiritual life had taken off. It was like a rocket. Before that was different. After taking initiation, her spiritual life went up like a rocket. And when I heard that, I was thinking, yeah, I really want to take initiation after hearing that. And the reason why is because a spiritual master, at a time of initiation, he takes your karma. Right? He takes all your reactions upon himself. Just so that you can make advancement. Right? He removed the obstacles. Just as Jambavan, by telling Hanuman his glories, he removed the obstacles so Hanuman could take the leap. So similarly, a spiritual master takes our karma just to help us. fly through the sky. Now, this rocket feeling, I'm sorry to say, for those... those who have taken initiation, do you remember that day? Right? When you took initiation and that feeling of, wow! Right? It doesn't last, does it? Sorry to say, it doesn't last. But when I remember here at the manor, one devotee was explaining this point. He said, oh, okay, it's like a plane taking off. Right? So at the point of taking off, you really feel it. But when you're up in the sky, it doesn't feel like you're doing anything. It doesn't feel like you're moving. But how fast are you moving? And I was like, wow, yeah. You're going at 600 miles an hour. So it's all right. It doesn't feel like there's anything going on, but actually you're moving way faster than you were if you were on land. Right? So then Hanumanji, as he's flying, wasn't an easy journey. Right up in front, suddenly this huge golden mountain comes up. Right? And this mountain, the mountain personified, out of the ocean, mountain personified comes in front of Hanumanji. And he says, my dear Hanuman, your father Vayudev really helped me a lot. Therefore, to repay that debt, here is my mountain. Please come and take some rest. You know, you've had a long, long journey. You've been traveling for many months, right? Please sit down and just take rest.
This is the first obstacle in our spiritual lives, my dear devotees.
Right?
We come back from work, school, whatever. Come back from Sankirtan, whatever services you're doing. Right? We come back home, right? And we think, I'm talking about myself here. Nitai, you know, you worked so hard today, you've had such a long day. There's the TV remote, right? There's a nice sofa. Just relax for a little while, right? You can chant your rounds in a little while. Don't worry, right? So there we are, relaxing, right? And the mind says, we'll just watch this one program, EastEnders, or X Factor, right? Just one program. The program finishes, the mind says, just one more, right? Just one more, right? Right? Just relax for a bit. You had a long day. Relax, right? Relax for a bit longer, right? That program finishes. Oh, go on, just one more. Go on. You deserve it. You deserve it, right? You deserve to have a rest. Before you know it, right? It's so late at night. Oh my God, I've got 10 rands left to chant. Right? I don't know what it is for the Sankirtan warriors. Maybe you come back and you see the hard floor and think, oh, that's a nice place to rest. I don't know. I don't know what it is for, like, for the residents. Right, whatever it is for you, or maybe some nice, the wedding prashad is some leftover and it's like a big paneer feast and you eat too much and feel, oh, you know, I need to relax for a bit. Right? So this is the first impediment. Right? The mind comes and tells us, we deserve a break. We deserve a rest to relax for a bit. Right? What did Hanumanji do? Hanumanji, I mean, the person is trying to reciprocate. He's giving this mountain with so much love, right? Offering him a place to rest. He's not a demon. He's just being nice, right? But this was an impediment in Hanumanji's search for Sita. So he touched the mountain to his head, said, thank you for the offer, and he carried on his way. He didn't stop. Because he had a sense of urgency. Lord Ram is depending on me. Lord Ram is depending on me, right? I can't stop like this to have a break, right? Lord Ram is in great distress. This is how we should feel about our 16 rounds, or however many rounds you chant, right? Don't rest, don't stop until you finish completing your rounds, until you finish completing your vow, right? Your journey to find Sita happens in your rounds. Right? On a daily basis. We have this battle on a daily basis. So if Hanumanji touched the mountain to his head like this, then maybe we can touch the TV remote to our head, touch the sofa to our head, and say, Haribo. Right? I have to chant my rounds first. Right? After you finish your rounds, then we'll talk. So then, Hanumanji carried on. Another obstacle came in his path. This time it was a test from the demigods. And this test represents the competitive spirit. I'm not going to touch on this,
time is short. So we went to the next one. He carried on. And then all of a sudden, he was, although he was still in the air, he wasn't moving. I was thinking, what's going on? Right? He's flying in the air, but he's not moving. He's stuck. So then he looks down, and there is one demoness there. Her name is Simika. Right? She was a demoness right down there in the ocean. And she had the power to hold on to a shadow. Right? And she had a big mouth. Right? So she would hold on to the shadow to stop the person moving, and then she would draw the person down into her mouth. This, my dear devotees, represents envy. Right? Under the influence of envy, we criticize other devotees. Right? This is like holding on to the shadow. Right? Looking at their bad qualities, we criticize them. Right? This is it's an obstacle in our spiritual life. It stops us from moving. We say every morning, right? What's the number one offense to the holy name? To blaspheme devotees. It's the number one offense to the holy name. Do you think Krishna is going to be pleased? Do you think we're going to be moving forward in our spiritual life if we're criticizing devotees? No. Immediately it stops us in our tracks. And just like Simika, she started pulling him down. It will make us fall down eventually. Criticizing devotees is a great obstacle in our spiritual life. His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, when he was talking about criticizing devotees, this Vaishnav Ninda, Vaishnav blaspheming devotees, he said, in a feast, when you have a feast, there is one thing, you only need a little bit, but that one thing is what gives the rest of the food flavor. You know what he said? You know what that is? It's the pickle. Right? He said, Vaishnav Ninda is like the pickle in our spiritual life. Right? It gives the rest of our devotional life flavor. Right? When somebody falls down, right? When something bad happens to another devotee and we're envious of that person. You know, I knew so-and-so would end up like this. Right? They're not better than me. I knew I was better than them. Right? This is the pickle. Right? He describes it like this. Due to envy, this Vaishnav Ninda is very tasty. So this is, it's very important that we deal with it. So what did Hanumanji do? Hanumanji became very, 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 very tiny. And he went down into Simika's mouth, but into her throat, right? And came out through her heart, right? He just came and he ripped her body to shreds, right? And she died, right? She died and then he just carried on. So what does this signify? How do we deal with envy? To deal with envy requires us to be humble, right? Just as Hanumanji became very, very small, to deal with envy means we have to become humble. One of the reasons why is because of pride, that we feel envious. So when we are humble and we see another devotee is getting glorified or another devotee is advancing very nicely in their spiritual life, we clap, we appreciate, right? Wonderful, this devotee is doing so nicely. I mean, it doesn't even make sense to be envious. If you were the topmost devotee, right? This is what the mind likes to, right? The nature of our mind is we want to be the top, we want to be the best devotee, etc. Right? If you were the top devotee, the best devotee, who would you go to? Who would you learn from? Right? Isn't it better to be the servant? It makes more sense that there's somebody better at doing this than you, somebody better, then you can learn from them. It doesn't even make sense to want to be the best, right? Or to envy somebody else. Better you stay in the humble position, because then you will advance. If you became the topmost, who are you going to take? You know, I look at our Prabhupada disciples and think, right, who do they take inspiration from now? Right? I look at our spiritual masters. Right? Who do they take inspiration from? We're so lucky to have them. By their mercy, we can advance much quicker. Right? One day they will all go. Right? Sometime in the future. Right? There'll be no more Prabhupada disciples left. What will we do?
in such a situation. That's how we should be feeling, not envious of, oh, so-and-so is so great, you know, why them? Why do they get the mahaplate and not me? Right? This is envy. Right? So to counteract envy, let's become humble, small like Hanumanji, and then rip these envious thoughts. So then Hanumanji carries on, and he gets to Lanka, and after a few more obstacles, he's in the palace of Ravan. And in the palace of Ravan, there are more than 12,000 wives, queens of Ravan. They're all drunk, they're all not very well dressed, right? Lying on the beds, and Hanumanji has to do the most difficult service of looking at each lady and checking, is this Sita? Is this Sita? Is this Sita? Right? And finally he comes to the bedroom, the main chamber of Ravan. And Ravan is lying there on his bed, right, completely drunk. And next to him is this most beautiful lady, right, his primary wife, Mandodari. And she's so beautiful. At first, Hanumanji thinks, is this Sita? She's so beautiful. Right? It could be. And then he thinks, hang on, she's lying next to Ravan. She's drunk. This can't be Sita. Right? And drunk and happy. Right? Said, no, this can't be Sita. Sita must be somewhere crying. And the interesting thing is, a lot of pictures, they depict Ravan as being very ugly. That's not actually the case. Ravan was a most handsome man. Right? Most handsome being. Some ladies voluntarily left their husbands to go with Ravan. Right? Some of these ladies. Because he had a lot to offer. He wasn't an ugly... When he became lusty, then he became ugly. Right? So Hanumanji was thinking that, wow, look, if he was a devotee, he's so handsome, this body features, how can he be a demon? Right? So this, my friends, is another lesson. That lust looks very nice. Right? Lust looks very attractive. Right? But it's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Right? It's actually one of the biggest demons. So then Hanumanji then goes to, says she's not here in the palace. And finally he goes into the gardens, to the Ashoka gardens, and then sees one lady constantly chanting the names of Ram. And this is Sita. And after, we all know the story, he gave Lord Ram's ring, and Sita Devi gave Hanumanji so many blessings. But before leaving Lanka to go back to Lord Ram, Hanumanji wanted to create some mischief. He is a monkey after all. Right? He wanted to create some mischief. So he began to destroy the gardens. And then he was shouting from the top of his voice, you know, is there anybody here who can challenge me? I'm the messenger of Ram! Right, it's shouting like this. So the caretaker of the gardens came running. He saw the chaos. All the gardens, beautiful gardens, were destroyed. Imagine the manor gardens, you know, some monkey comes and destroys all the benches and the tables and the trees all fallen, everything. You think, what on earth is going on? Right? So the caretaker is coming and he starts, you know, he's talking, blaspheming. Hanuman, what are you doing? Right? And Hanumanji is thinking, it's been a few hours, I haven't passed water, you know. So, he gives him blessings in his mouth. Right? And, right, this caretaker is furious. So he goes to Ravan, and tells Ravan, a monkey passed water in my mouth. Ravan gives him one tuppal, right? You came all the way here to tell me that a monkey passed? Because why didn't you close your mouth? Of course a monkey's going to pass water in your mouth, right? So then he says, no, this monkey's no ordinary monkey. He's destroying all the gardens. So Ravan said, what? Monkey destroying the gardens? Right? Take 80,000 warriors, take Jambavali and go finish him, right? So 80,000 warriors came all in a formation, right? With Jambavali at the lead. Jambavali is Prahast, one of the great generals of Ravan, his son. So Jambavali was there, and then he started shooting arrows at Hanumanji. Hanumanji is immune to all these weapons. He'd got the blessing as a young child, so he just caught the weapon, threw it, you know, broke it in half, and threw it back.
So then Jambavali said, "No, okay, this is no ordinary monkey. I need to use my mystic powers." So he closed his eyes, chanted some mantra, and he became so big that Hanumanji was only up to his ankles. Right? And he thought, "This is very good. Look down, saw Hanumanji. Very good," right? He said, let me show him my strength even more. So he closed his eyes, chanted the mantra, and he became as tall as he could, right? As the limit of his power. He opened his eyes, and he saw this big round thing in front of him. He thought, "What's this? It's not a face. There's no eyes." Then he looked across, and he saw another big round thing. Then there was a voice from high above saying, "Jambavali, I'm up here." He looks up. He sees that actually, those are my knees. Right, the big round things he saw were his knees. Then Jambavali became very afraid. So he turned around to look, to see if the army will help him. He notices the army is finished. While he had closed his eyes and he was increasing his size, Hanuman had taken one piece of some palace area there. He took one slab. The formation of the army was so perfect, he just landed the slab right on top of them. All 80,000 warriors were finished. Right? So Jambavali said, "Hey, I don't like your tricks that you're playing. Come down to your normal size and we'll have a proper fight." So Hanumanji said, "Okay, no problem." Right? And he said, "Before I kill you," Hanumanji said to Jambavali, "before I kill you, right, you know you like chanting mantras. Right? I noticed you were chanting mantra to increase your size. Let me give you one mantra. Very simple. It goes like this. Ra, ma. Ra, ma. Chant this mantra before I kill you." Jambavali is getting more infuriated. "I'm not going to chant this mantra." Right? So finally, Hanumanji takes his finger, puts it in his belly button, swings him round, and dead. Like this. So this makes Ravan even more angry. So then he calls Indrajit. Indrajit goes. And with the Brahmastra weapon, Hanumanji honored it, and he allowed himself to be tied up. So he goes into the courtyard of Ravan. And Hanuman was very clever. Right? He was very clever. So he tried to use arguments, first of all, to persuade Ravan. He said, "Give up Sita. Sita is not that good looking. Right? If there's any other woman that you want in this universe, I will personally go and get her for you. But just give Sita back to Ram." Ravan said, "I'm not giving up Sita." Right? And then finally, out of anger, he said to set fire to Hanuman's tail. So of course we all know, Hanuman set fire to Lanka and then jumped back to see Ram. And what's interesting also is that when he went to see Lord Ram, he didn't say Sita. He didn't use the words Sita is whatever, right? Because if he had said that, Ram was in great fear and expectation, right? In his Mugdha quality, Lord Ram did not know whether Sita was even alive or dead. He didn't even know. So Hanumanji was very thoughtful. And when he came in front of Ram, he didn't say, "Sita is," because just by him saying, "Sita is," Ram might think she's dead, right? Sita is, what could... dot, dot, dot. It could be anything, right? So the first thing Hanumanji did is say, "Found, found, found, found." So immediately, Lord Ram was peaceful. Okay, found means, okay, they found Sita. And then he spoke everything. And after Hanumanji told Lord Ram about his adventures, then Lord Ram, really, from deep within his heart, he told Hanumanji, "Thank you. I'm just here by myself. I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to give you except my embrace." And at that point, Lord Ram hugs Hanumanji to his chest. And both are crying tears of ecstasy, right, for each other. This is Paritranaya Sadhunam. Right? This is your Lord Ram on the altar. Right, he's Paritranaya Sadhunam. He wants to have reciprocation with you. Right? As you can see in the entire Ramayana pastimes, especially with Hanumanji. Right? And the Lord also depends on you, depends on us. Lord Ram's mission for Hanuman was to get Sita. Lord Chaitanya's mission is for all of us to become devotees and to save as many other people as possible. This is the mission given to you by Lord Chaitanya, given to us by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya depends on us. Just as Lord Ram is depending on Hanuman to find Sita, Lord Chaitanya is depending on us. Right? It's up to us to take up this mission of Lord Chaitanya. Jare deko tare koho Krishna upadesh. Whoever you meet, right? Whoever you see, try to tell them about Krishna. Try to help them spiritually. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. So on this auspicious day of Hanuman Jayanti, let us pray to Hanumanji that we can also develop his mood of determination to serve Lord Ram humbly, right, from the bottom of our heart, and also get, ultimately, also get the embrace of the Lord. Jai Shri Hanuman Ji Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. So are there any comments or questions?